Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. And of course, I should say X, but I just can't get Twitter out of my head. Today is the 17th of August, 2024. And the title of today's show is Trump and Elon Break the Internet, Trump Assassination Attempt Cover-Up, UK Free Speech and Protests Under Attack, Mpox Next Plandemic. So lots again to cover this week. Hope I can get through it all in the time I have. Of course, big news this week was the X Spaces with Elon Musk and Trump, and the number of people who listened to this really was out of this world. It actually added up to a billion views in total at the time of the article that I'm just going to share with you. Bear in mind, this was published on the 13th, and we're now on the 17th, so it's very likely it's gone much, much higher than that. So this was a report by Zero Hedge. X conversation between Musk and Trump generates over a billion views. It appears whatever Trump and Musk did, it struck a chord as the conglomeration of the mainstream media rose up as one to vilify it. And it's a screenshot from Autism Capital on X, collection of the negative headlines from the Trump and Elon spaces. And, well, it's probably about 30 different headlines. I'm not going to go into them all. As Modernity News' Steve Watson detailed earlier, a conversation between Donald Trump and ex-owner Elon Musk has generated over a billion views as Trump officially returned to the platform Monday. Elon Musk made the observation following the two-hour conversation between the two. And there's a screenshot of his X post. Combined views of the conversation with real Donald Trump and subsequent discussion by other accounts, now around 1 billion. And there's another, and that's in response to a screenshot of an actual X post, i.e. the platform X, between 7:47 p.m. and 10:47 p.m. ET, President Donald Trump's space post received 73 million views. During the same period, there were 4 million posts about Elon Musk and President Trump's conversation on X, generating a total of 998 million views. Trump also returned to posting on X with an ad now at 42 million views at the time of writing. The conversation was streamed live on X Spaces but had to overcome huge technical issues due to a sustained DDoS, which is distributed denial of service attack, on the platform shortly before the stream began. And Elon Musk had posted, "We tested the system with 8 million concurrent listeners earlier today." And that was responding to his own X post. "There appears to be a massive DDoS attack on X, working on shutting it down. Worst case, we'll proceed with smaller number of live listeners and post the conversation later." And I actually tried to get onto the spaces and couldn't get on. This was about 15 minutes after it was supposed to start. And it was only later that I found out about the DDoS attack. The attack followed sustained moaning by the dinosaur media, complaining that Trump would be allowed to say, quote, "whatever he wants to" by Musk. And this is in response to Tom Elliott's post on X. Axios's Sarah Fisher said, Elon Musk will let Donald Trump speak all of the falsehoods and misinformation that he wants. I mean, he's not a journalist. Does he want to be fact-checking all the information? So I think it's just a platform for Trump to come out, say whatever he wants. Oh my God, the horror of letting a presidential candidate say what he wants and people being able to hear him without being able to cut away and shut it off. And the Polity Bunny on X posts, the meltdowns have already begun and he's not even really posting anything yet. Why do you think Trump is on there in the first instance? Earlier, a Washington Post quote journalist called for the White House to step in and stop the conversation from happening. They operate in a tiny bubble and fundamentally cannot fathom that they are not the purveyors of all information on the planet. And this is from Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. I'm amazed how these young girls who pretend at journalism so easily dismiss the voting bloc that don't bother to watch CNN or The Spew. I think that refers to The View. And it's in response to Alyssa Farah Griffin. Trump gets back on Twitter, does interview with Elon, puts out ad about the Mar-a-Lago raid. He's doubling down with his base. It gains him nothing with undecided swing voters. Bizarre strategy 3 months out. The Harris campaign got their best 20-something-year-old PR intern to type up an anxiety-laced post that didn't address any of the content of the conversation between Musk and Trump and instead focused on the technical issues as some kind of criticism. And this is from Modernity. 20-something Kamala PR person can't handle that it wasn't some sort of staged fawning phone call from a reality show, that there was actual long-form substance and real conversation involved and tech issues, because it wasn't completely fake and staged and redone until right. And that's in response to Kamala HQ, our statement on whatever that was. Statement on Donald Trump's interview with Elon Musk. Donald Trump's extremism and dangerous Project 2025 agenda is a feature, not a glitch, of his campaign, which was on full display for those unlucky enough to listen in tonight during whatever that was on X.com. Trump's entire campaign is in service of people like Elon Musk and himself, self-obsessed rich guys who will sell out the middle class and who cannot run a live stream in the year 2024. And they keep going on about this Project 2025 agenda, which Donald Trump has repeatedly said he had nothing to do with, but they just won't let it go. Of course, they're not used to an organic and substantial long-form conversation between people happening. They only understand heavily staged, scripted, and produced sound bites that belong in bad reality TV shows that no one watches. And it relates to a staged phone call which Kamala Harris made to Tim Walz to ask him to be running mate. Cringe beyond belief. Harris calls Walz to ask him to be running mate. Why does everything have to be like a Kardashian episode? Musk made it clear that Harris is welcome to join him for a conversation. She likely won't accept the invitation onto the biggest platform on earth, though, because she cannot manage to go more than 2 minutes off script without looking like a complete clown. And it shows Elon Musk tweet or X post, happy to host Kamala on an X Spaces too. And Cat Turd replies, laughing out loud, she's too dumb and fake to do a real interview. The media also ran with the they couldn't even run a live stream talking point. Ian Miles Chung posted, the knives are out for Elon and Trump. The media is terrified of the fact that they both left a positive impression on listeners, that they're both decent, likeable people who only want what's best. And the media is terrified that it is no longer relevant. Let's see CNN or MSNBC trying to run a live stream with millions of listeners while fending off a cyber attack. Outside of the US, Elon received more threats from the European Union in the form of a letter from Thierry Breton, the current Commissioner for Internal Market of the EU. Referring directly to the conversation with Trump, Breton stated in no uncertain terms that X has to crack down on content that promotes hatred, disorder, incitement to violence, or certain instances of disinformation. Musk responded with a meme telling Breton to fuck your own face. It shows the tweet. To be honest, I really wanted to respond with this Tropic Thunder meme, but I would never do something so rude and irresponsible. And it shows the letter from Thierry Breton, headed the European Commission, which I won't bore you with, but basically trying to censor. The article ends saying, amazing. The Gateway Pundit actually reports on Elon Musk's invitation. Elon Musk invites Kamala Harris for an interview on X Spaces. Will Miss Word Salad take him up on it? It starts talking about the DDoS attack, but I'm not going to repeat that. When the conversation finally kicked off, President Trump and Elon Musk delved into a wide array of topics. At one point, Musk expressed how refreshing it was to have a real conversation, contrasting it sharply with the current administration. You can't have a conversation with Biden. It's not possible, Musk said. Musk and Trump agreed on a critical point. If Trump does not reclaim the presidency, America as we know is finished. They echoed sentiments that Democrats are poised to destroy the country if given another chance. Elon Musk, on Tuesday morning, announced that the combined views of his interview with Trump is nearly 1 billion. This was a huge win for President Trump and America. To hear from the former president without the constant gotcha questions from the Pravda US media. But it gets even better. This morning, Elon Musk invited Miss Word Salad to hold a Twitter space with him. This was on the 13th, by the way. Happy to host Kamala on an X Spaces too, posted Elon. Will she take him up on it? Will her handlers allow it? Or will they continue to hurl insults at Trump, Elon, and American voters? We shall see. His tweet or his post was responded to by ALX. Good luck, man. Let me know if you need help keeping the conversation going. This doesn't sound like she could make it 2 hours. And that was in response to her unscripted comments when she was somewhere on the tarmac with Biden. Can't remember where it was exactly. As usual, anyone linked to Trump always comes under attack from the left. And this is a report from Just the News. Target Musk, ex-owner's Trump embrace puts him in crosshairs of left's disinformation machine. The left doesn't want to emphasize the role of influential billionaires on their side because a lot of their talking points involve being against wealthy individuals, Mike Benz of the Foundation for Freedom Online said. Elon Musk, owner of X, has repeatedly been criticized for threatening democracy by stating his political views on his social media platform, while government officials use social media censorship on other platforms to prevent what they consider to be election misinformation. Musk's interview of former President Donald Trump on Monday triggered numerous news articles and political letters regarding his handling of election information on X. However, the media and government officials have promoted some election involvement by other big tech platforms and billionaires as they work with social media platforms to censor election information. Leading up to and following Musk's interview with Trump, multiple media outlets criticized the tech billionaire's involvement in elections. On Tuesday, Musk reposted a screenshot of negative news headlines regarding his interview with Trump. A wall of negative headlines was so predictable, Musk wrote, later adding, all this does is drive even more people to listen to the conversation themselves and realise how much the legacy media lies to them. Ahead of the interview, The Guardian published a story on Monday headlined Elon's Politics, How Musk Became a Driver of Elections Misinformation. US News and World Report had an article last week with the headline X Factor, How Elon Musk is Influencing the Presidential Election. Germany's Deutsche Welle ran a story last week titled How Elon Musk Uses X to Meddle in World Politics. An NBC News article from last week was headlined with Elon Musk's misleading election claims have accrued 1.2 billion views on X, new analysis says. The Guardian claimed that because of Musk's ownership of X, elections officials' fear has come true regarding a rampant spread of misinformation that would lead to threats and harassment and undermine democracy. The Guardian, of course, is a left-wing rag from the UK, and they always accuse other people of what they themselves are guilty of. NBC News article noted that an analysis by the non-profit Centre for Countering Digital Hate found that there have been 50 instances this year when Musk posted election claims that have been debunked by independent fact-checkers but spread widely on the app anyway. Of course, Centre for Countering Digital Hate, again, is the opposite of what it actually is. Government officials and politicians have also targeted Musk for election disinformation on X. European Union Commissioner for the EU Internal Market, Thierry Breton, on Monday posted a letter on X suggesting that the content of the Trump interview could potentially be relevant to an ongoing probe of X. However, Breton did not receive approval from the President of the European Commission, according to the body on Tuesday. Last week, five secretaries of state sent a letter to Musk demanding he make changes to his Grok chatbot after it gave false election information. The secretaries, all but one of whom are Democrats, said that hours after President Biden announced he was dropping out of the presidential race, false information on ballot deadlines produced by Grok was shared on multiple social media platforms. The letter recommended that the solution be to follow OpenAI's example, which included programming ChatGPT, quote, to direct users to canivote.org, a nonpartisan resource from professional election administrators of both major parties, when asked about elections in the US, end quote. Following the X interview between Musk and Trump, the United Auto Workers Union on Tuesday announced that it had filed federal labor charges against both the Tesla CEO and the former president over alleged worker intimidation. The union pointed to the Monday interview, saying that Trump and Musk had a rambling, disorganized conversation on Monday evening in front of over 1 million listeners in which they advocated for the illegal firing of striking workers. However, while Musk has been the target of critical headlines, another tech billionaire is receiving favorable ones. Earlier this month, the Washington Post published an article with the headline, Without Zuckerberg Money, Limited Private Funding Available for Elections. The story noted how Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg is staying out of this election cycle. In contrast to 2020, when he donated most of the $350 million that the Center for Tech and Civic Life granted to local elections offices for election administration. I'm not going to read the rest of this because it's all historical stuff. I want to move on to present things. And the latest attack, which was reported by Slate News on the 16th, Democrat group files FEC complaint claiming Elon Musk's ex interview with Trump amounted to a virtual campaign event. President Donald Trump has once again become the target of lawfare following his interview with ex-boss Elon Musk. Democrat Political Action Committee, End Citizens United, filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission over the interview. The unprecedented live stream conversation received over 1 billion views around the world. Musk has also offered the same opportunity to Democrat presidential nominee Kamala Harris, but the offer was ignored. The FEC complaint alleges their broadcast amounted to a virtual campaign event for Trump, Newsweek reported. Although Democrat candidates routinely get overly friendly treatment from the corporate media and big tech companies, End Citizens United believes the exposure was akin to a campaign contribution. The group filed a formal complaint against Trump on Tuesday in yet another effort to use the law to attack the 45th president. Many believe Trump has already been a victim of lawfare after facing an onslaught of questionable charges in several Democrat-run venues. However, this latest attempt to use the law against Trump is the most egregious example yet. There's no shortage of establishment networks and news outlets falling all over themselves to prop up Harris. However, it's considered a grave injustice when Trump is the beneficiary of such treatment. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris is being accused of being a coward and a cheat. She's hiding from interviews. She's doing no press conferences since she was supposedly nominated as the presumptive Democrat candidate for the presidential election. And she has done several speeches, all of which were exactly the same script from a teleprompter. So the only time she's unscripted, she becomes completely incoherent. Of course, the other thing is that she hasn't taken Elon Musk up on his offer of an X Spaces with her. She's also trying to distance herself from everything that's happened during the Biden administration. And many people are calling her out for these policy claims, saying that you've been in office for 3.5 years. Why the hell haven't you done something about inflation and about immigration already, especially as you would a nominated border czar? Wayne Root on the Gateway Pundit reports, lie, deny, hide Kamala and cheat like crazy. The Democrat plan is simple, brilliant, ruthless, evil and pure fraud. But can they pull it off? This was posted on the 13th. We have been gaslighted for the past 4 years again and again. It's all lies, fraud, misrepresentations and Soviet KGB Nazi Gestapo level propaganda about virtually everything. About Biden's mental and physical health, about COVID vaccines, they're not safe or effective, about the wide open border, which lets in not only criminals and terrorists, but all the fentanyl that kills over 100,000 Americans a year, about the economy, we are in a recession right now, about inflation, it's horrible, about jobs, the only job gains are for illegal aliens. About GDP, the economic growth is mostly from obscene government spending, which is causing the debt explosion that will soon destroy our country, economy, and your children's future. About crime, it's the worst in modern history, but the biggest Democrat cities aren't reporting crime stats to the FBI. About green energy, it's a massive failure, which is why your electric and gas bills have doubled and tripled. About Democrat policies, which have turned big cities into third world crap holes. Basically, it's all lies and gaslighting all the time about everything. Because whatever Democrats touch turns to shit. So they have to lie about everything and create a fantasy world and brainwash you 24 hours a day. But now along comes the biggest gaslighting and propaganda campaign yet. The deep state frauds are trying to convince you that the most stupid, unlikable, incompetent, radical, extreme, evil, communist witch in history, Kamala Harris, is now a combination of Mother Teresa and Margaret Thatcher. the media, social media, and pollsters, all owned by the deep state, DC swamp, Democrat Party, China, and the Chinese Communist Party, are trying desperately to convince you that Kamala is suddenly leading Trump. They want you to believe that the person in charge, Biden's partner for the past 4 years, the person who caused all your pain, is the person who feels your pain and the person with all the solutions to make the pain go away. No one ever asks, actually they have been doing, but you're in power right now. Why would we have to wait until you're elected? Why don't you solve our problems right now? Why didn't you solve them for the past 4 years? I think they're asking them on Twitter, but not in the mainstream media, that is. They want you to believe that if only we elect the radical, clueless, incompetent, dumb-as-a-tree-stump border czar who never visited the border and who purposely left the border wide open to welcome in millions of criminals, terrorists, welfare addicts, and future Democrat voters to destroy our economy, explode the debt, take our jobs, overwhelm our schools and bankrupt our healthcare system, and violently rob, rape and murder our citizens, if we only elect that person who made it all happen, she suddenly has the magical solutions to make it stop, even though she directed it all. Wow, aren't we lucky Kamala's available for the job? They want you to believe the person who only 4 weeks ago was as popular as herpes and chlamydia is now the most popular, exciting and heroic candidate in history. She hasn't been allowed to have one press conference or answer one question in 3 weeks as the supposed Democrat nominee for president. She's being hidden. She's not allowed to speak, not one word. Not because she's stupid or got her job only through DEI, even though Joe Biden called her the DEI vice president, but because she's brilliant. And if you believe any of that, I have a bridge to sell you in Vegas over the Atlantic Ocean. So now please allow me to explain the deep state DC swamp Democrat plan to get their stooge elected. It's simple and easy to see. Kamala Harris will be placed in the witness protection program. She'll be hidden for the next 11 weeks, just like Biden in 2020. Why? Because any time she speaks, the world finds out she's as dumb as a box of rocks, incompetent and a radical extreme communist. If Kamala speaks or answers questions, she loses, so she won't. She is AWOL Commie Kamala. Next comes the censorship, whitewash and cover-up. The biased liberal mainstream media and social media will hide her horrible personality, terrible policies and awful radical communist voting record. Not to mention facts. They'll try to hide the actual terrible results of the past 4 years of the Biden-Harris administration. Kamala owns inflation, crime, the open border catastrophe, and foreign affairs blunders across the globe that are at this moment leading to World War III. All of this has to be hidden and covered up for only 11 short weeks. In football, this is called prevent defence. This is the Democrat strategy. Put up two extreme radical communist hacks and traitors who appeal only to radical communist transgenders, BLM rioters, felons, illegal alien invaders, atheist feminists who worship abortion as God, and low information voters who believe the lies of the deep state PR wing, aka the mainstream media. Now throw in CIA brainwashing techniques from the media, social media, and Google. Then rig the election with fake mail-in ballots, millions of ballots from corrupt ballot drop boxes and ballot harvesting. Rig the ballots from nursing homes, psychiatrist facilities and drug rehab centres. Make sure all these people incapable of taking care of themselves hand over their ballots. Democrats will do the rest. And of course, the main tool to steal the election, register as many of 20 plus million illegal alien invaders as humanly possible. Promise them welfare, food stamps, free health care forever, and no deportations ever if they vote Democrat. maybe mix in a new pandemic, the start of World War III and or riots and anarchy on college campuses this fall. Why? Create as much distraction, crisis and chaos as possible. Never let a crisis go to waste. That's the plan. Simple, brilliant. This is how they plan to steal America forever. Because if they win, there will never ever again be another Republican president or Congress. They will be in power forever. America will be lost forever. Anyone think I'm wrong? The only question is, can they pull it off? And I don't believe they will pull it off. And I've said this many times, that the White Hats were in control of the stealing of the 2020 election and the 2022 midterms. I'm absolutely sure of that. No, I cannot prove it, but that's what my intuition tells me. And I think a lot of other people in the truth community would agree. So they have it all. Trump has said this innumerable times, and so they have everything in place to stop the stealing of the 2024 election. So I'd even bet on it. I did like that article by Wayne Root, though. I thought it was highly amusing the way he'd written it. So good for a laugh. And the Kamala Harris campaign has been up to more dirty work. And this is from Gateway Pundit. Wow, Dirty Harris campaign edits news headlines with Google search ads to make it appear major news outlets are on her side without their knowledge. The Harris campaign is editing news headlines with Google search ads to make it appear major news outlets such as Reuters, CBS News, CNN, NPR and AP are on her side. While these major news outlets are shilling for Harris, her campaign edited the news headlines without the outlets' consent or knowledge. The ads say sponsored, but the outlets did not publish the text. The favourable headlines were written by the Harris campaign. CNN, NPR and other outlets told Axios they were unaware of the ads. Google says the Harris campaign has not violated their policies because the ads are label sponsored. Why it matters. It's a common practice in the commercial advertising world that doesn't violate Google's policies, but the ads mimic real news results from search closely enough that they have news outlets caught off guard. What they're saying. While we understand why an organisation might wish to align itself with the Guardian's trusted brand, we need to ensure it is being used appropriately and with our permission. We'll be reaching out to Google for more information about this practice, a Guardian spokesman said. Ooh, sorry, I said spokesman. I should have said spokesperson. I must be politically correct. Then, surprise, surprise, the next day, Google blames glitch for how Harris campaign was able to run paid ads with fake headlines to deceive voters. Again, this is Gateway Pundit. Google blamed a glitch for how the Harris camp was able to edit news headlines to make it look like major news outlets favoured her. Google says a glitch occurred which allowed the Harris campaign to run paid ads with fake headlines to deceive voters, the outlet reported. The Trump campaign didn't run these types of Google ads, only Kamala Harris did. Google says there was a glitch in the system which meant some of the barriers they tried to put in to make it clear what this is weren't working, Fox News reported. This so-called glitch went in Kamala Harris's favour, of course. And there's an ex-post from Drew Hernandez. Cover-up. Google is now claiming a glitch occurred which allowed the Harris campaign to run paid ads with fake headlines to deceive voters and users. Now, I'm sure there'll be more fun and games at the DNC, which begins on the 19th, so on Monday. And again, Gateway Pundit reports Chicago businesses already boarding up storefronts in expectation of radical mobs at Democrat National Convention. The DNC is happening in Chicago next week and local businesses are taking no chances. The radical mobs of Israel-hating leftists are expected to be out in full force. So businesses with storefronts have already started boarding them up, assuming that there will be tons of pointless destruction. The radical left has a reputation for destruction in situations like this. Expect to see a lot of smash windows, fires and graffiti after they get done with the city. No one had to do this for the Republican convention. Why is the left so intent on destruction? It has become what they are known for. Some more information has come out about the attempted assassination of Trump, which I'm going to cover briefly, but of course the mainstream media have completely abandoned any reporting on it. And also, Google is now under scrutiny for manipulating search results when people searched for information about the assassination attempt. So they're in trouble as well. I'm going to start with Becca Brief on Substack, just the first part, just to remind you of what the Secret Service and co. were actually not saying about the assassination attempt and their role in the supposed security that they provided to Trump. Trump shooter's body cremated. I'll be covering that in a different report. J13 investigation uncovers disturbing evidence of FBI cover-up. This action by the FBI can only be described by any reasonable man as an obstruction to any following investigative effort. The Trump assassination attempt investigation has been obstructed at every turn. Former Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle resigned rather than give direct answers to simple questions about her agency's multiple failures to protect Donald Trump during the failed July 13th assassination attempt. Subsequent Acting Director Ronald Rowe was equally evasive in his congressional testimony. Rowe may have committed a felony by lying to Congress when he claimed his agency had never cut or withheld resources from Donald Trump's security team. FBI Director Christopher Wray, in his testimony before Congress, was similarly misleading in his statement that he wasn't sure if Donald Trump was even struck by a bullet. The FBI admitted after the public hearing that Donald Trump had indeed been struck in the air by a bullet. Importantly, the FBI claimed that Trump's shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was a loner type who did not have a substantial social media presence. FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate, in another congressional hearing, claimed that Crooks purportedly held anti-immigrant and anti-Semitic views. Both Ray and Abate have claimed, incredibly, the FBI couldn't get into some of Crooks' apps. Representative Michael Walsh nonetheless divulged information the Bureau was attempting to get into three encrypted accounts based overseas, allegedly belonging to Donald Trump's attempted assassin. The foreign accounts were speculated to be connected to an alleged Iranian plot. Crooks, who had donated to Biden-connected political groups on Inauguration Day, nonetheless may have left behind a social media footprint. Gab founder Andrew Tauber claimed to have found an Epic Microwave account potentially linked to Crooks, which was last active on the site in 2021. He posted on the site 9 times total. While the account made very few posts on the site, the majority of them were in support of President Biden, the Daily Mail reported. A number of posts in particular expressed support for President Biden's COVID lockdowns, border policies, and executive orders, he added. The FBI seemed to be rather incurious about this startling development. This is all to establish a pattern of obstruction, if not outright deception, about what really happened with the Trump assassination attempt. The plot thickens. Gateway Pundit reported on the 16th, Higgins report on attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Higgins covered the water tower and the second shooter theory. A preliminary report on the July 13, 2024 assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump reveals disturbing lapses by federal authorities that raise serious questions about the integrity of the investigation. Congressman Clay Higgins, Republican, Louisiana, a member of the House Task Force on the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump, authored the report after spending 20 hours on the ground in Butler County, Pennsylvania, meticulously examining the crime scene. The report, dated August 12, 2024, and addressed to Task Force Chairman Mike Kelly, exposes a series of alarming actions or inactions by the FBI that appear to undermine the investigation's credibility. Higgins' report highlights several critical observations from his investigation, shedding light on the events leading up to and during the assassination attempt. The U.S. Secret Service failed to retrieve radios that had been set aside for them by Butler County Tactical Command. These radios were crucial for the coordinated security efforts during the rally. The failure to collect and use these radios as planned raises significant concerns about communication lapses on the day of the attempt. Casings and shots fired. All eight casings from shots fired by the would-be assassin Thomas Matthew Crooks were recovered and are allegedly in proper possession of the FBI. Additionally, the ninth shot fired by a Butler SWAT operator struck Crooks, disrupting his attack. A tenth shot, believed to be the fatal one, was fired by a USSS counter-sniper team. Questions surrounding Crooks' body. Higgins' efforts to examine Crooks' body reveal that the FBI had released the body for cremation just 10 days after the incident, without the knowledge of local law enforcement or the county coroner. This premature release has hindered the ability to verify the accuracy of the autopsy and other forensic reports. Higgins writes, "My effort to examine Crooks' body on Monday, August 5th, caused quite a stir and revealed a disturbing fact. The FBI released the body for cremation 10 days after J-13. On J-23, Crooks was gone. Nobody knew this until Monday, August 5th, including the county coroner, law enforcement sheriff, etc. Yes, Butler County coroner technically had legal authority over the body, but I spoke with the coroner and he would have never released Crooks' body to the family for cremation or burial without specific permission from the FBI. The coroner's report and autopsy report are both late. As of Monday, August 5th, they were a week late. The problem with me not being able to examine the actual body is that I won't know 100% if the coroner's report and the autopsy report are accurate." The report also raises concerns about the FBI's handling of the crime scene and evidence. The agency released the crime scene after just 3 days and even cleaned up biological evidence, a practice that Higgins described as unheard of in law enforcement. Cops don't do that, ever. Congress Higgins' report highlights several critical areas that remain unexplored, including the origins of Crooks, his training, and the possibility of other conspirators involved in the assassination attempt. Well, yeah, it seems like a major cover-up and an inside job, as many, many people are saying, those of us in the truth movement who don't watch the mainstream media. In the UK, the attacks on free speech and two-tier justice and two-tier policing continue. This is a report from RAIR Foundation, that's R-A-I-R. It's actually a USA organisation. UK's slide into totalitarianism, a grim echo of communist regimes. This is back on the 11th. Billy Thompson, a father of young children, has been unjustly imprisoned for 12 weeks simply for expressing his opinion during a Facebook conversation with a family member. A shocking example of the UK's descent into totalitarianism, where free speech is criminalised and dissent is brutally punished. In a chilling display of the UK's increasing descent into totalitarianism, a 31-year-old father, Billy Thompson from Maryport, was arrested and sentenced to 12 weeks in prison for merely expressing an opinion to a family member on Facebook. This draconian action is an unsettling reminder of the practices common in communist regimes, where dissent is swiftly and harshly punished. Thompson's crime? Criticising the police's handling of violent confrontations that erupted across the country following the horrifying triple murder of three little girls, and it says, and a teenager from Rwanda, but that's not accurate. It's actually a teenager who was born in Wales, but is from a Rwandan family. And I've covered before, there are suspicions that the father was a Rwandan diplomat involved in the genocide in Rwanda. Thompson himself is the father of a 17-month-old child. His Facebook post, which questioned the police's response, was deemed by the court to have incited violence, resulting in a severe sentence aimed at discouraging others from sharing wrong opinions on social media. The justification for such a harsh penalty was framed as a deterrent. The judge declared there must be a deterrent element in the sentence I impose because this type of behaviour must stop. This statement, steeped in authoritarian rhetoric, illustrates the dangerous path the UK is treading, where freedom of expression is increasingly being curtailed in the name of maintaining public order. A weaponized communications act. Thompson's conviction is rooted in the reinterpretation of the UK's Communications Act, a law now seemingly weaponised to silence political dissent. Although Thompson admitted to the Post content, he claimed ignorance of the fact that expressing an opinion could constitute a crime. This case sets a disturbing precedent where citizens must now second-guess every online comment, fearing the long arm of the law. The prosecutor and judge further exacerbated the situation by labelling Thompson's post as racist, pointing to the inclusion of an emoji depicting a non-Western person with a gun as evidence. This leap to criminalise an expression of frustration reveals an alarming trend where even the most innocuous actions are scrutinised and punished. A chilling effect on free speech. The consequences of this case are already evident. Thompson, under pressure from his legal defence, has vowed never to express such opinions again, a clear indication that the intended chilling effect on free speech has taken hold. He has received counselling and has said that he will absolutely not repeat his behaviour again, said a spokesperson for Thompson's defence team, highlighting the extent to which fear has been instilled in the public. Despite the possibility of serving only half of his sentence, if a fine is paid, the emotional toll on Thompson's family was palpable. Relatives wept openly in the courtroom as he was led away. This is deliberate messaging of the personal cost to people by the growing authoritarian state, should one go against officially acceptable opinions. No sympathy from law enforcement. In a statement devoid of compassion, Police Chief Superintendent Carl Patrick lauded the swift prosecution, expressing hope that it would serve as a warning to others. This type of behaviour will not be tolerated, and we will continue with this proactive policing approach, he declared, signalling an unwavering commitment to silencing dissent. Patrick's remarks reflect a broader shift within the UK's law enforcement, where monitoring social media and cracking down on racially inflammatory comments has become a priority. The chilling message is clear. Express the wrong opinion and the police will come knocking. As the UK tightens its grip on free speech, many are left questioning how far this will go. The parallels to communist regimes where dissent is met with imprisonment are becoming increasingly difficult to ignore. With each passing day, the UK's slide into totalitarianism becomes more pronounced, leaving citizens to wonder who will be next. And actually, some of the people that have been prosecuted, I actually follow on Twitter or X, And somebody did a thread looking at the judges involved in these sentences that have been imposed on the social media posters. And they give the most horrifically lenient sentences, if not release pedophiles who have been convicted of child porn and pedophilia and are let go for the most egregious reasons. It's sickening, actually. And no surprise then that we Brits are desperate to get rid of Keir Starmer, who is a WF puppet and who has become a dictator. You can't call him anything else. But it's not only happening in the UK, it's also happening in Germany. This is a post on X by Jim Ferguson. German police begin raiding homes of citizens who share non-mainstream content online. The German government has unveiled plans to allow police to secretly raid the homes of citizens who view or share non-mainstream content on social media. Der Spiegel and RND reported that the German Federal Criminal Police Office, BKA, may soon be allowed to raid homes secretly and without a warrant. According to the draft, police could also install spyware on suspects' computers or smartphones and conduct covert searches of their homes if they are suspected to have anti-establishment views. IndependentSentinel.com reports, a spokesperson for the Interior Ministry will not discuss details of the proposal, but told Der Spiegel on Wednesday that security agencies must have the necessary powers to counter evolving threats effectively. This is against German law. The inviolability of the home is enshrined in Article 13 of the German Constitution. Unless there is an imminent threat, the current search process requires a warrant from the prosecutor's office. People must inform the person of specific suspicions and the purpose of the search. The Free Democratic Party does not support Stasi 2.0. Bundestag member Manuel Hofferlin said the secrecy surrounding searches was very concerning. The German Association of Journalists, DJV, has also come out strongly against the plans, with federal chairman Mika Buster warning that journalists and whistleblowers could be affected by secret break-ins reminiscent of methods used by police states. And last of all, I want to quickly mention the Mpox Plandemic, renamed from Monkeypox. This is from Big Lead Politics on Substack. Who declares public health emergency over Mpox? Globalists hell-bent on another pandemic? The World Health Organization just declared a public health emergency in response to rising rates of monkeypox in Africa. While trusted healthcare experts like Dr. Peter McCullough have said that monkeypox does not pose a risk to the average American, the announcement by the WHO makes one thing incredibly clear. Globalists are hell-bent on another pandemic. Earlier this year, we were treated to non-stop warnings from the WHO and other globalist agencies about the possibility of an incredibly deadly disease X pandemic. Now the WHO is issuing this public health emergency regarding monkeypox. It's only a matter of time. The globalists have been loud and clear about their desire for another pandemic. It's obvious they won't stop until they get one. There is no reason to live in fear, no reason to subject yourself to dangerous experimental vaccines, and no reason to accept dramatic limitations on your personal freedoms. And it's the same old playbook. World Council for Health weighs in on this on Substack. Monkeypox reality check. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus has declared monkeypox a public health emergency of international concern and initiated the process of granting emergency use listing to two monkeypox vaccines. This comes after repeated announcements from so-called global health authorities, a 2021 tabletop simulation exercise of a monkeypox outbreak, and a previous 2022 PHEIC, that's the Public Health Emergency abbreviation, for monkeypox that Tedros declared without the consent of his advisory committee. Tedros claims it is a response to the increasing spread and severity of the disease, now renamed Mpox, while Dr. Maria van Kerkhove of the WHO has stressed the need for stronger surveillance. So what is going on? And I'm going to summarise this somewhat. There aren't many cases of this at all, and most of them are in Africa. I did see a report of one case being announced in Europe. I can't remember which country it was exactly now. Apologies for that. But basically, it's not a threat to human life at all. I think it's a 99 point something recovery rate. It tends to be amongst homosexuals, and also it's very similar or the same as one of the side effects from the COVID-19 vaccine, which is like an autoimmune rash, very much like shingles, which is also a side effect of the bioweapon. And the article also points out that it's a money pot because there's going to be vaccines manufactured to deal with this so-called pandemic, I call it another scamdemic. And of course, they'll be using a lot of fear porn to persuade people to take yet another vaccine. And it also points out that the side effects of existing Mpox vaccines can be severe. So is it another genocide attempt by the globalists? Certainly it seems like it. And of course, the concern is that the Democrats in power will use this as an excuse to lock down or insist on mail-in voting or even stop the election in November, because let's face it, they'll do anything to stop Donald Trump from getting back into the White House. The cover-up of the dangers of the COVID vaccine is still going on. This is interesting. A report on the 14th. Doctors killed in plane crash vowed to release evidence linking modified mRNA vaccines to turbo cancer. The cover-ups must continue when it comes to all things slow-kill bioweapon vaccines, with the latest assassination of doctors willing to expose the global PSYOP-19 eugenics project being yet another case in point. To wit, in the recent airplane crash in Sao Paulo, Brazil, six prominent scientists were among the victims. The crash occurred on August 9, 2024, and involved a Vopas ATR-72 twin-engine plane carrying 61 people. Among those who perished were eight doctors heading to an oncology conference, which included the six scientists. Now, I want to end on a positive note, as usual. And what we're seeing, I think, is a major panic by the deep state, because so many people are waking up to what they're attempting to do. And we're seeing this farce playing out in the US with, you know, putting Kamala Harris on a pedestal. And I'm sure this was all a setup by the White Hats, because you can't get more inept candidates than Kamala Harris and Tim Walz to supposedly become president and vice president. It is like a French farce. So also, you know, we're pretty angry in the UK about this attack on free speech and peaceful protests as well. And, you know, in this short time of Keir Starmer and his cohorts being in power, only supported by 20% of the population during the election, I think there's going to be a major backlash, and there'll be calls for him to resign, for the dissolution of Parliament, and for a new general election. So in their panic, they've red-pilled a hell of a lot of people now by really overstepping the mark on this, crossing that red line. And I do believe that when Trump is officially back in the White House, he'll deal with this on a global scale. So I'm looking forward to November, when I'm sure he'll win in a landslide and we'll see some major changes to return us back to a state of freedom. So let's look forward to that. So a very quick goodbye, because I'm running out of time. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me next week for another Cosmic Creating show. Thank you to Nancy for producing. And a quick reminder to visit my website at thesuccessalchemist.net. And until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.